Rishis Rabbi Bacon, Yashar Koach for all your people on behalf of the Talmidim and the Yeshiva. And Yashar Koach for all the Talmidim that are here and others are elsewhere. The Torah tells us in the beginning of this week's parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe and he told him that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu that appeared before Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I've heard the cries, the groans, the moaning of Klal Yisrael, and ultimately I'm going to take them out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Vaydaber Moshe Kenel B'nei Yisrael. Moshe spoke to B'nei Yisrael all that was spoken to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo Shomu El Moshe, and they did not listen to Moshe Mikotzer Ruach, with a shortness of breath, U'me'avod HaKasha, and with back-breaking work. The Medrash asks, V'chi yesh l'cha adam shehu mispaser b'sora tova ve'eno sameach. Very difficult to understand the response of B'nai Yisrael when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to B'nai Yisrael after 210 years of backbreaking labor, and he tells them, you're going to be freed. And their response is, get away from me. Mikotzer ruach me'avador kasha. They did not listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chi yesh l'cha adam shehu mispaser b'sora tova ve'eno sameach. A person hears such wonderful, pleasant news, and he's not happy. Kigo nola l'cha ben zachar. You are born a son. Rabcha motziacha l'cherus. Your master is going to take you out from cherus. Ve'eno sameach. And Klal Yisrael's response is ve'eno shameach. They didn't listen. It seems to be not natural. Ela hayakasha be'eneim, says the Medrash, the reason why they didn't listen, it was difficult be'eneim in their eyes, lifrosh, to remove themselves, me'avodah zarah shel Mitzrayim, to remove themselves from the idol worship of Egypt. My question on this Medrash is one word. Be'eneim, in their eyes. The Medrash could have simply answered, Ela hayakasha lifrosh, it was difficult for them to remove themselves from the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians. What does this mean? It was difficult in their eyes to remove themselves from the Avodah Zarah. The Shemi Shmuel gives an interesting idea. And he says that a person was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lave and the Einayim. Says the Shemi Shmuel of Hainu ki halev hu hagan Eden sheba adam, that the lev is gan Eden of a person. It's the spiritual depth of a person. The ha'einayim and the eyes heim sha'arei gan Eden are the gates of the gan Eden ukemo sheyesh chomos usha'arim. Just like there are Sha'arim and Chomos, there are gates that protect Gan Eden. Shalosham Oral V'tomei, that there should not be an Oral or a Tomei V'shom Chitzun V'zar El Haru'oyim Lo. Only those that are fit for Gan Eden should enter. Kein Lev Ha'adam Shekochot Chitzonim. So too, the lave of a person. In order that outside influences shouldn't come and infiltrate the heart of a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person einayim, eyes. And the eyes are the sha'ar, the eyes are the gate that allows things to come and go, to enter, to penetrate, or to not. And says the Shemi Shmuel, the same thing is by ruchnius, by spirituality. The einayim protect. The Einayim are there to ensure that the lave, that the heart of a person is pristine, is clean, is tar v'kadosh. The Einayim are the outside. It's the superficial. The lave is the panemius, the internal, the essence of a person, and the Einayim are the superficial, the outside of a person. And I believe that's what the Medrash is telling us. That however much Klal Yisrael was steeped in Avodah Zarah, however much Klal Yisrael did not want to remove themselves from the idol worship of Egypt, it was only superficial. It did not enter the lave, the panemius of the person. When Klal Yisrael engaged in Avodah Zarah, it wasn't who they were, it was just what they did. In essence, Klal Yisrael got up in the morning. They worked hard. They toiled in labor. And after their hard days of work, they went to worship idols. And then they went to sleep and got up and worked and worshiped idols. That was their routine. That is what they were accustomed to do for 210 years. Though it only remained Be'enehem, it did not come to the lave of the person. That's Malamit Schus on Klal Yisrael. Though this idea of routine is the Ben Torah's downfall. It's our downfall. It's only the hergel without hergish. It's the routine without the feeling, without the lave, the amkus hadavar. It's only chitzoni and not panimi. It's something external and not internal that we internalize and appreciate that which what we're doing. We get up in the morning, we go to chakras. And then we have a quick bite to eat and then we run to the base medrash. But it's our routine. Where's the panimius? Where's the internalizing what it is that we're doing? It's only be'enehem and it's not belave. It's the Ben Torah's job to ensure that the Torah remains in the panimius and not something that's routine that we do with our daily lives. We have nothing else that we're doing. We come to the Beis Medrash. We come and we learn and we run to the Beis Medrash. But it's only because this is something that we do day in, day out, without internalizing what it is that we're engaged in. A very interesting chazal. The pasuk tells us, "Vayimaru eschayehem ba'avoda kasha," that the Egyptians embittered and enslaved Klal Yisrael ba'avoda kasha with backbreaking labor, bechomer with clay ulbevenim with brick ulbechol avoda basada. And with all the work in the field, eskol avodasam, and all of their work, asher avdu b'hem befarich, it was with difficulty. That's the simplistic understanding of that pasuk. However, there are chazal that explain this pasuk in a totally different way, perhaps a way that we've never heard before. Vayimaru eschayehem ba'avoda kasha, that they embittered the lives ba'avoda kasha with backbreaking work, kasha zu kushia. The difficulty was with a kushia, with a question. Bechomer, with brick, with substance. Does it kal vechomer? That's referring to a kal vechomer. Ul bevenim, dalibun hilchata. That the levenim was with clarity through halacha. Ubechol avoda basodeh. And with the work in the field, da braisa. We know that the braisa is that which was excluded from the Mishnah. That which is outside the bias. That which is in the field is the braisa. And it's called avodasa, asher ivdu bahem befarech. The perach, the difficulty, da teku, is the gemara that will never be understood until Eliyahu HaNavi comes and helps us understand with clarity that which we had so much difficulty with. What's the connection? Yes, the words fit. But what are the Chachamim teaching us? What are they telling us? What are they guiding us with? Ma inyan shmita etzel har sinai eschayehem ba'avoda kasha zu kushia b'choymer zekal b'choymer avode basode. That's the braisa. What are the Chachamim teaching us? They're teaching us that just like an Eved, just like a slave, his focus all day, every day is his Adon, is his master. All he thinks about is his master. He can't get the thought of his master out of his mind. He's working hard. He thinks about if he doesn't do the right work, his master will come and hit him. He's consumed with the thought of his master. The Chachamim are teaching us that our Torah has to be a Torah where we're consumed thinking about our master. It cannot be a Torah that's just superficial. And we're going through the halacha and we have pilpul and the brisker Torah and we're learning the halacha. It can't simply be relegated to intellectualized learning. It has to be that the learning takes the same effect as a servant or a slave has when he's working for his master. When we are learning a kushya, we have to have in mind that there's an adon, there's a master. And when there's a kal v'chomer, there's a master. And when there's a brisa, there's an adon, there's a kodesh baruch hu. It's not simply intellectual that I'm so excited about this question because now I'm able to use my mind and to think and to ponder and to hypothesize and to question. We can do that when we learn science. But when we're in the Beis Medrash and we're learning Torah, it has to be Vayimaru es chayehem ba'avod kasha zu kushya. It has to be with the thought, with the mindset of our master. Perhaps what the pasuk really was telling us, Vayidaber Moshe Kain el Bnei Yisrael, when Moshe spoke to Bnei Yisrael all that he had heard, Velo Shamuel Moshe, they didn't listen to Moshe. It was because of Kotzer Ruach. It was because there was a shortness of Ruchnius, of spirituality in their learning. They didn't internalize or appreciate that they were standing in Omei Lifnei Hashem when they're learning Torah. It wasn't a Torah Chayim, a living Torah. It wasn't Kihem Chayenu. It wasn't life. It wasn't coming to appreciate that there's an Adon. There might have been Avoda Kosha. There might have been a Kushia. But there was a Kotzer Ruach. There was a shortness of Ruchnius in their Torah. It was an intellectualized Torah. It was a Torah for the sake of pilpul. And not a Torah that affects the very essence, the mahus of a person. That's a Torah be'enehem. It has to be a Torah that's within the penimius of a person. There was a couple, a Sephardi couple, a young couple that lived in Eretz Yisrael. And they had a child. The child was about 3 years old. The child wouldn't stop crying. Day in, day out. For hours on end, crying. And they took this baby to doctors, and to therapists, and to leaders of that respective field. And the doctors, and the tests, and the scans could not figure out why this baby kept on crying. Nothing worked. Finally, one day, the mother had had enough. She decided that she's going to take this baby out for a walk. Perhaps a change of scenery will change the mindset and the action of this young baby. The mother takes this boy for a walk, and as she's walking on the streets of Yerushalayim, she notices on the floor that there's a piece from the Chumash, from the Torah, that was on the floor. She picks it up, she kisses the Torah. She thinks, perhaps this is a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should pick up this piece of Chumash. She picks up the Chumash. She holds on to it. She gets back to her apartment. She folds up this page of Chumash. She puts it into a vial. She ties the vial with a string, puts this vial of Chumash around the neck of her 3-year-old baby boy. And lo and behold, the baby stops crying. It's amazing. The husband comes home. He doesn't hear crying. Couldn't figure out what had happened. So the wife runs over to her husband and says, "You won't believe what happened. I was walking on the streets of Yerushalayim. I saw a piece of chumash. I picked it up. I wrapped it up, put it in a vial, put it around our baby's neck. And the baby hasn't cried since. The husband can't believe it. He opens up the vial. He opens up, unfolds the paper, and he notices that the piece of paper was from a part of Sefer Dvarim that talked about the tochacha, the rebuke, that will befall Klal Yisrael if they don't listen to the words of Hashem. The husband turns to his wife and says, "What have you done? You've tied around the neck of our baby psukim from the tochacha? We know no one wants to get the tochacha in the aliyahs. It's a bad sign. It's a siman ra. And now you're taking a parchment from the tochacha and you're wrapping it around the neck of our baby? How can you do such a thing?" The wife turns to her husband and says, "It's Torah. The power of Torah. It doesn't make a difference what Torah is." She didn't understand what the tochacha was, what it wasn't. She knew the power of Torah. To this simple woman who didn't know psukim, she was able to understand and digest that it's not simply a Torah of pilpul, a Torah of libat dehilchos, a Torah of a kal v'chomer, but rather there's a pnimius, there's a Torah schayim, there's a living Torah attached to it. That's that woman. That's that lady. Perhaps that's the Hamon Am outside the Beis Medrash. For us, we know the Torah. We know what the Tochacha is. We understand the great depths of Torah. We engage in Kal V'chomer and Svar and Pilpul and Halacha, Yom V'Layla, day and night. For us, it has to now become a Torah Schaim. It has to be a living Torah. A Torah that is alive. A Torah that is no longer simply hergel, but it's also hergish. It's a feeling Torah. It's a Torah that has life. It's a Torah that I appreciate that through this Torah, I'm literally saving people's lives. And every word of Torah has great significance. So now the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we accomplish learning and possessing and having a Torah Chaim? And I believe the answer is twofold. The first is having a Rebbe. Every single person has to learn Torah from a Rebbe. It can't be from a tape recorder. When I was in yeshiva, and there was a bacher, there was a boy that wanted to go learn. He had a chavrusa Thursday night in the mir. And he left the tape recorder for the Rosh Yeshiva Shir Klali. The Rosh Yeshiva saw the tape recorder, and I've never seen the Rosh Yeshiva enraged like this before. He was infuriated. He turned it off, and he kept it for this bacher, for this boy, until he came back from his chavrusa in the mir. And I was sitting there and I heard the Rosh Yeshiva berate this boy. He said, "You can't learn Torah from a tape recorder. You have to learn it from a Rebbe. You have to see how the Rebbe engages the Talmud. You have to see the hand motions. You have to see how beautiful the Torah is when the Torah leaves the lips of the Rebbe. That creates an impression. That creates a Torah Schayim. It has to be through a Torah. It has to be through a Rebbe. That's what gives the Torah life, gives it purpose, gives it meaning. As the Gemara Maseches Makos says, Talmud Shigola, a Talmud that goes into exile, Megalin Rabo Imo, that the Rebbe is exiled with him. As it says in the Pasuk B'chai, that he shall live. Avi Leimidi T'Tahavi Leichiyusa, you have to do for this Talmud that which gives him chias, which gives him life. And perhaps, Bederek Drush, what the Gemara is telling us is wherever the Talmud goes, even when he's outside the Beis Medrash, when he's in Golus, He has to take the Rebbe with him. Because that Rebbe is what creates a Torah Chaim, a living Torah. And now when you're in the boardroom, and now when you're outside in the real world, you're in Golus, you're no longer in the Beis Medrash, the beauty of Torah still remains. It's become V'chai Bohem, it's a Torah Chaim, it's a living Torah. We need that Rebbe. We need to eat with the Rebbe. As the Rambam says, Ochlin v'shosin im tamidei chachomim. We have to eat with him. We have to talk with him about mundane things. Shimusho yoter milimudo. The Rebbe has to be with us always. Whether it's in learning, and just as important, if not more important, it's the Rebbe's voice and the Rebbe's picture, the dmus. Because it's through that Rebbe that creates that Torah Chaim, that living Torah. And the second is that we have to utter HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. In our learning, we have to take a step back and we have to actually mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's with us. You should actually have this dialogue with your Chavrusa. How many times a day do we actually utter just HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nothing else. We have to speak Hashem. We have to say Hashem. We have to talk with Hashem. We have to ponder Hashem. We have to realize that the Torah is Torah's Hashem. The Nevi Shechaim writes, and this will conclude. The Nevi Shechaim writes in Shar Dalet Perek Vav, Shebechol Eish Yochin Adam Atzma Lilmo, that at all times when a person prepares himself to learn, Ro'i Lo Lihis Yashev Kodem Sheyaskil, he should ponder for a moment. Al kaponim manuah, the short time. Beyiras Hashem tahora b'taras halev. B'taras halev. Yiras Hashem. Lehisvados al chatoso mi'umka d'liba. Again, not inayim, but the lev. From the depths of his heart. Kedei sheteye taraso kedosho k'tahora. V'chavein lehisdabek. And you should have in mind the kavona, that through your learning, your lehistabek bo batorah, the bo batorah baruch hu, that when you're learning, you're connecting with the Almighty. Hainu lehistabek b'chol chochosov lidvar Hashem zo halacha. You're becoming one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The gam imhu ha'asub gedivri agado, and if you're not even learning something, aliba dehilchasa, there's no pilpul, there's no koshia, there's no kal v'chomer, but rather it's divri agado, she'im b'hem nafkuz l'shem adin, there's no nafkamina la'halacha. Gamkein hu David b'diburo, you're also connecting to the dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki haTorah kula b'chlaladeha proteha b'tikuteha. The Torah is in its totality, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dibur. Afilu mashe talmid katan shoel b'rabo, even a talmid katan, what he asks from his Rebbe, hakol yatsa mipiv yisparach l'moshe b'sinai, it was all uttered from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe in Sinai. V'lo od ela gam, but also ha'esha adam osei b'torah lamata, when a person is learning Torah down here, kol teva shemotzi mipiv, every letter that a person talks in Torah, hein hein hadvarim yotzim kaviyochol gam mipiv yisparach, kaviyochol those words are leaving kaviyochol the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha'es mamish at that exact time. We have to introduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu to our limud. We have to bring him into the equation. We have to utter HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name constantly when we're learning, to remind us that we're not doing this to intellectualize the Torah. We're not doing it to sharpen our minds because we're going to take a test soon. We're learning Torah because this is the Dvar Elokim. This is the word of Hashem. It has to be a Kihem Chayenu. It's a living Torah. It's a Torah that has life, that has a Pinimius, that's not simply tied to the eyes, but rather connects to the heart. If we do that, in Yirtza Hashem, through our learning, we'll be zoche to build worlds. We'll build the Beis HaMikdash Lamaila, and then in Yirtza Hashem, we'll be zoche to build the Beis HaMikdash Lamata. Have a good night.